I would like to introduce my subject first. It was in the year 2006 that I personally became aware of the need to bring into our Vaishnav communities a new awareness of the importance of caring for each other. I had been a member of our society for 35 plus years and noted that the society spoke of lofty ideals of God realization, but often lacked the basic human care for each other, which is so necessary for all communities. Noticing this lack, I was not sure if I should participate in such a society as a frontline preacher after I turned 50 years, half of my years. So I thought, let me get some direction from Srila Prabhupada and Krishna if I should continue to be in the society or if I should maybe go to the edge of society, of our ISKCON society, take care of the disciples and the devotees who wanted guidance from me through an internet web page, but more or less take care of my own bhajan 100%. This was the question. So I went to a pilgrimage in Mountain Kailash, to Mountain Kailash, because I figured the answer was already there if I should participate and in which way I should participate, but maybe my false ego was not ready to listen to it. So I decided to go to Lord Shiva's abode in this world, Mountain Kailash, since he is the Lord of the ego and he could help me to climb the range of my own false ego and see the plan of God for me. So I did the pilgrimage. If you are interested to know, to take notice what happened on the pilgrimage, I've written a diary called the Kailash Diary, which is available on the internet. To make it brief, I returned from this journey with a profound instruction of Srila Prabhupada and the greatest devotee of Krishna, Shiva, how I should conduct my further preaching in or service in the movement for Krishna consciousness. On a, the instructions were basically two. I should see in my workings amongst the devotees that I take care of helping them to understand, first of all, the need of taking care of each other and then giving them this spiritual foundations of spiritual care. And as far as the non-devotee world is considered concerned, I should do creative new preaching programs which would give people an immediate experience of the beauty of Krishna consciousness so that they would be convinced. In other words, what I will present here to you is half of the instruction, half of what Srila Prabhupada so kindly revealed in my heart, that our movement is a wonderful movement, but we need to bring this ethos of taking care of the devotees in our congregation into the forefront of our movement. That's the insight of what we should do in the movement, and then preaching is another affair. So I have been since that time thinking very deeply about spiritual care. I have discussed with many notable devotees in our society about their ideas, and I have been requested to be the spiritual mentor of the Pandavasena mentorship program, and I've done I've written a few articles on this, and am involved with devotees in different parts of the world of in mentorship, and this is why I'm sitting here now and talking to you. Okay, this was the introduction. Now I would go into the subject and speak about compassion as the foundation, the spiritual foundation of taking care of others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave three instructions how to reach the perfection of self-realization and God-realization. He said, if anyone would understand and apply these three principles, only three principles, then and only then would they reach the perfection of their life. The first principle is nama ruchi. You should develop a taste in the most foundational practice of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that is chanting the holy name. Second principle, jiva daya. You should be compassionate towards other living entities. And finally, Vaishnav seva. You should serve those who are already committed to devoting their life in the service of Krishna. Nama ruchi, the first of the three principles, gives us the necessary strength to do the other two practices. Those who have a genuine taste in spiritual, in chanting the holy name, and are ecstatic lovers of Krishna, will find it easy to move outside. This stress on nama ruchi is an inside-out approach. First, you need to have the taste. First, you need to be good. Then only your counseling and your taking care of others will have strength. Jiva daya is the second principle. Jiva daya. Is instructed, for instance, in the scriptures by Kapila Dev to Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni is a great yogi who had meditated in the forests of India until the Lord appeared to him and said, I wish that you enter Grihastha life so that I can appear in your family. Kardama Muni was very surprised of this instruction. Imagine any one of you brahmacharis, the Lord appears to you and says, marry and cur, I want to appear as your child. This would be quite some sensational information. So Kardama Muni followed the order of the Lord, and after the Lord had appeared in his family, he went back to his yogi ways because he felt the Lord had come to human society to instruct everyone to go through four phases of life. I should follow that order and give an example. I was a brahmachari, I was a renunciate, I married, now I will be giving up my marriage life, and I will roam around finally in the world. Now before he went, Kapila gave him a very interesting instruction, which shows that even for a yogi who has followed the Lord's order and entered family life and then gave birth to the Lord himself, and even for such an accomplished soul, jivadaya is essential. Kadama Muni, Kapila said, "You should show compassion to all living entities. Then you will attain self-realization. You should give assurance of safety to all. And by doing this, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me and myself in you." I find this so wonderful. Kapila tells this great soul, show compassion to others. Then you will attain self-realization. Not if you ignore the others. Prabhupada in the purport says, such devotee who wants to show compassion gives an assurance of safety to all. He says, "Let us live in Krishna consciousness and conquer the nations of material existence." This is how he says, "Everyone, let us live in Krishna consciousness and cross the ignorance of material life." How nice. And then he says how compassion should be done. Prabhupada later says, "The devotee should show mercy to the fallen souls and also give them the assurance of fearlessness. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he is convinced that he is protected by the Lord. Fear itself is afraid of the Lord. Therefore, what has he to do with fearfulness?" And later he says, "To award fearlessness to the common man is the greatest act of charity." My dear devotees, everyone is afraid in this world. It's called Kuntaloka. This fear problem is the greatest problem. If you want to be compassionate, help people to give up anxieties and fears. Give them assurance. Make them happy by giving them the vision of a fulfilled life, a God-conscious life. This is the basis of compassion. When you are a counselor, a devotee to whom someone comes, if you give them assurance that Svechi Biti Uredu, not just by words, but by our London devotee said, "What is this strange sound vibration coming from Maharaj?" Svechi Biti Uredu means everything will be all right. You have to learn a little Croatian while you're here. Otherwise, you ignore the beautiful Croatian language and show your English superiority of your language. So, yeah, I'm joking. So, give them a path whereby they can solve their problems. We will talk about this a little later when we will discuss the six needs which every human being has. And when they are not fulfilled, one is afraid and insecure and in constant anxiety. So how to give assurance, you will learn by, by fulfilling the six needs of every living entity in a spiritual way. But for now, I just want to say it is so important for a devotee to be compassionate. It is his dharma to be compassionate to others. If you don't do this, you are not a proper devotee. There is an old story which Prabhupada has said. It's about a saint who sees a scorpion on a on a something, a piece of wood, drifting in a pond. So the sadhu comes and wants to help compassionately the scorpion, because he understands this scorpion is balancing on this piece of wood. It's only a matter of time until he falls into the water and drowns. So he comes and just helps the scorpion. But the scorpion, being an aggressive creature, stings the scorpion, stings the sadhu. The sadhu avoids the sting, or I don't know, maybe he got stung a little, but immediately he again helps the scorpion. The scorpion stings. Again, the sadhu wants to take care of the scorpion and does something, and a passerby who looks at this says, "What are you doing? Don't you see he is wanting to hurt you and bite you?" And the sadhu says, his dharma is, he is an aggressive scorpion. That's his nature. But my nature is to show compassion to others. Why should I give up my nature and let the scorpion triumph over me? Because he keeps his nature. This is what is a real spiritual life. You should show compassion to others. You should not be revengeful and vindicative to others. You should learn this simple art, because this will help you to leave your little ego-centered world, which is only inflicting misery upon you. The moment, this is what Kapila says, you show compassion to living entities, you attain self-realization. The ego, which is between you and your self-realization, breaks down when you show compassion. And everyone knows it. When you do something to help others, you just feel out of your own miserable, you feel how your existence broadens. Who has made this experience? That after doing really something for the benefit of others and reaching out to another person, you seem to grow in self-realization. This is what Kapila says here. These two are related. Compassion and self-realization are causal, cause and effect. You know? And the way you show compassion is, you have to take the fear of people's life. You have to give them an assurance for a hopeful and wonderful life. This is what this verse says. If you want to read it in your own reading time, it's 3rd Canto, chapter 21, text 31. See, many people who turn to the spiritual path are doing this because they escape the material life. What they sometimes also escape from is humanness, and that's not good. It's good to leave Maya, but you should not escape being having sensitive human emotions. Many turn away from the world and also from human emotions because they were so frustrated by these two things. Because this world is a world of human emotions, and many things constantly go wrong. We have high expectations and they are not fulfilled. So very often I have noticed in my life, when I joined, I just wanted to leave everything behind. I just wanted to only chant and be with God. I wanted to have sky relationships, because I experienced so much situation in the land relationships which I was accustomed to. And now only wanted to look to God. I have no time. Prabhu, I'm seva, I'm serving. And so on. I have learned from the scriptures that Krishna wants us to also purify, integrate, and spiritualize our land relationships. There is a wonderful example in this when Dhruva Maharaj goes back to his Lord. You could say the sky relationship in its perfection. And just before he enters the goes back home, back to Godhead, the Vishnu Dutas give him an important instruction. They say to him, land relationships are also important. You have to spiritualize this. You have to be good there also. They say, the self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light. In other words, to make it simple, the Vaikuntha worlds are giving the light into this dark human world. These spiritual worlds cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. If you have not passed the test to be a compassionate well-wisher, you won't go there. If you are like I was for a long time in my life, only me and the Lord, only me and the Lord, that's all I care for. Now, that won't work. They continue, only persons who are constantly engaged in welfare activities for other living entities, here it's again, Jiva Daya, can reach the Vaikuntha planets. I think it is important to become aware of our lecture of the foundational need of compassion. And these three quotations from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and two from the Bhagavatam should suffice for now to give us a deep convincing argument why we should be compassionate. Compassionate action helps us to forget our ego-centered world. Compassionate action therefore gives rise to self-realization and God-realization. And finally, compassionate action qualifies you to go back home, back to Godhead. That is in summary. Now, Hare Krishna. Oh my God, I'm really fast today. Mm-hmm. Now I would like to tell you three points how you can become compassionate, and then I will ask you for questions and answers. I'm today very, I will say this now in bracket, I'm trying to write a book. That's what I'm trying. That's why I'm so concentrated. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, gives us three meditations which will help us to become compassionate. And I will elaborate a little bit on them. Here they are, first of all. The first meditation is that you meditate about the fact that all living beings are equal. The second is all experience misery in the same way as you do. The third is, if you want to eradicate misery, you will need to make a determined effort and have concrete measures. Let me now explain the 3 points. First point, all living entities are equal. This is a spiritual vision. If I look now with material vision, I see Madhavananda, oh, he looks very different from me. He has a Bavarian beard. He has cultivated a Bavarian beard that I don't have. You know, if I look at Sundar Nitai, he looks very different. He is shaved up like anything, which I am not. You know, there are women amongst you, they look very different. There are men amongst you, there are different mindsets. Someone of you is bored with the lecture, another is highly interested. Someone is a successful manager, someone is an unsuccessful manager in his life. If I look out in the crowd, I could see only differences. But that is the material vision. The spiritual vision is every one of us is an eternal part of Krishna. This is the sattvic vision. And this sattvic vision will help me to connect with others. I want to give you an example. Today I went for bathing. So I was always at another place where no one could see me, a secret place, but the water was not so clean. And I decided, let me do one thing. I don't like to be in my private affairs public, but I don't care. So I walked through the devotees who were lying there sunbathing. I saw elderly ladies, devotee ladies in bikinis. Hare Krishna. And quickly, I thought, my God, ISKCON has really changed. then I walked to where I saw one devotee who was just lying in the sun. And I thought, my God, I would never do this. Why is he not reading or chanting? Or, my God, Kali Yuga really has advanced, you know. So I went really into the world of the present ISKCON. I was not alone in my private bathing place. I really went amongst all of you. And my God, I went to Grihastas and they were bathing with the children. One of the children were urinating on the floor. And I went like, I almost fainted. You know, it looked like from the movies, you know, like the gladiators go to the arena and fight in the arena. And before that, they urinate on the floor, you know, out of fear, you know. I remembered what I had heard about gladiators and their way how they found their death, and the father saw me almost fainting and he said, Maharaj, this is very normal. So by that time I was a little bit mentally disturbed, you know. Normally I'm with the devotees mostly in this situation. I'm sitting on the lecture seat and I'm addressing you with spiritual subjects and you seem to be interested. It seems to be making sense. Some of it makes sense to you. So we have some equality here, some relationship here. But I never saw, I mean, I don't want to repeat, the elderly ladies dressed in bathing suits Brahmachari sunbathing and children doing what gladiators do before their death, you know. So I was disturbed. Then I thought, today I will give a lecture on compassion. And the first step for compassion is you must see the equality of all beings. You cannot see people materially and see only the differences. And everything changed. I looked at the whole panorama, the vista, and I felt, wow, these are all spiritual souls, part and parcel of Krishna. The Vaishnava ladies are, the sunbathing brahmachari is, and the little gladiator is, you know. They are all part and parcel of Krishna. And I feel felt deeply enriched in self-realization. I am like that also. The differences are not important. This is we in our human on the human level, there are these differences, but they are all part and parcels of Krishna, and they are all very dear to Krishna. And I looked with tears of love over the Pitong beach here, and felt deeply rewarded by this experience. So you have to look spiritually. That's the first thing. Then the second is you have to understand the nature of misery is the same. If it is this elderly woman whose husband has died, she will suffer. She will suffer like the young renunciant who lies in the sun when he feels no longer a purpose in his life and no longer a mission where he is useful. And the misery is also there for this small gladiator. Is it called a gladiator? Yeah. Gladiator. Yeah, the small gladiator. They suffer and experience misery all in the same way. In the same way as you also experience misery. That it can become a stumbling block on your spiritual path, if you are constantly running into miseries and suffering, you will not have the strength of mind, the strength of faith to go on. And then the next step is, if you look out in the world and see everyone is equal, the poor, the rich, even the animals are equal, then you will do something concrete, you will do something determined and concrete to help them to become free of misery. These are foundational exercises to become compassionate. You must do first the groundwork. If you want to lift 100 kg, you must first start with 5 kgs. And so you must do some preparation. To be a compassionate well-wisher to everyone is 100 kg weight lifting. It's not so easy. So you must do some steps which prepare you for this. See, everyone is equal. Don't make differentiated. Don't do what so many of us do, to judge other people and in this way separate from other people. No, see them as equal, as part and parcels of Krishna. Judgment and enviousness is all in the material field. It doesn't help you in your self-realization, doesn't help anyone. What about the third? Yes, and you must be aware, if you want to fight misery, which comes from ignorance, if you want to fight ignorance and misery, you have to be determined. You should not be so easily discouraged on your path. To join the rank and files of the compassionate people, you are asking for a lot. This is not small stuff. This is advanced stuff. But, my dear devotees, your effort to help others to be, if it does not come from the root of compassion, it will be short-lived because you will be discouraged, and it will also be partial only if you don't work on compassion. Okay, before I will answer your questions, I will now go with you through a few steps of which help you to become compassionate. These few steps are elaborating on the three steps which we heard from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You will hear now the compassion exercise. This. First, I suggest to you a little morning practice. When you wake up, try to wake up also spiritually, you know. You can say to yourself, I'm very fortunate that I have received this rare human form of life. Let me today make a determined effort to not waste my human form of life. I'm going to use today my energies and my talents to develop in my own spiritual life and to help others as a compassionate friend, because Jiva Daya and Vaishnav Seva are so dear to the Lord. I may not yet be fully compassionate, but knowing that Krishna is pleased when I am doing something compassionate to help others, I will do some activities like this today. This is the first practice I suggest. Wake up in the morning. When I was in the island of Sholta, you know, you might have heard I passed through a very difficult physical period in my life after a traumatic surgery where I just don't even want to remember it, which I almost didn't survive. And then I had to recuperate my health, and I stayed for some time on an island called Sholta. It is in the Croatian thing. And every day I remember devotees from Split came over. Manisha and Saranandi was also there at that time, and came where I stayed with my assistant. It was a little house on an island. And I remembered I could not, I was there as a patient more or less. I got, they came over to cook, they had cooked something for me to give the wounded wolf some food, you know. They came to feed me back to health. And I remember at that time I was not I was not preaching. I was making walks, nature walks, because walking is very good for my body. And I prepared the Vedic way by reading literature which I thought is helpful for self-development. And I did every day 2 hours of research for the Vedic way. But I noticed, because I like to preach and help others, I was so much burning. And I remembered every morning I did this exercise to prepare myself for preaching. Today I am grateful to Krishna that I have woken up for another day. I don't remember that. I'm so grateful that I have this precious human form of life, which is the greatest gift. I can practice self-realization. I can get out of my own little world and take care of others. It's possible. I'm a human being, you know. And then when the cooking crew came, because they were the only ones to preach, my assistant had the need to be alone sometimes for himself, so I would leave him alone. But then I was go like and I preached wonderfully. That's what they said. You're preaching like anything to us. I said, there's no one else, and you have to stay now, you know, we have to get back on your ferry. No stay. And, you know, I remember that I felt so happy, and it helped. By the way, I helped them also to get to the ferry. I didn't keep them from the ferry. That's not a wrong statement. And so, yes. A second thing is something about which I've written at the beginning of the year. Empathy. Empathy is a practice where you try to see things from the other's perspective. Immediately when you do this, you connect with them. I gave in my New Year's message an example from the First World War. You know, let me give this example. This was the first heavy war, modern heavy war, which Europe saw. This was a war fought with bullets and cannons and flak and explosives and so on. And it was in the winter. There were the Germans and there was the Allies confronting each other in Flandern. You know, that's where the Netherlands are. And they were... it was so cruel. People could not sleep. There were no beds for them. The soldiers had to stay up in the war trenches. There were no toilets. Everywhere you could smell the human excrements. And the soldiers who had been shot lie on the battlefields, rotting in their bodies because no one dared to run and get them to safety. It was terrible. Kubalishai, your mouth is opened. You cannot. You are totally shocked. Everywhere there were rats running around, feasting on the dead bodies. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. Now, Christmas Eve came, and the German soldiers had received these small trees. How do you say the evergreen trees? How do we call them? Christmas trees. Yes, sorry. Christmas tree. And they had lit the trees. They had received it from home. The Allies were there bibbering. And when do we start shooting again? And they lit them and they chanted Christmas trees like, "Es ist ein Ros entsprungen von einer Magd so zart." It was a beautiful Christmas song, no? "Wie es die Ahnen songen, li 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 li." You know, it's a dee 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 dee. Oof, every German starts to cry when he hears this beautiful Christmas song. So they were singing. They were so afraid. They thought the only way to deal with this fear of the battle and this inhuman situation is, let's sing a Christmas song. And they all sang. And the Allied forces heard them. And first they thought, this is another devilish plan of the Germans. They will just sing and we will all relax and think that the Germans will not attack. They are singing. And then they will come at us with atom bombs. No, there were no atom bombs, but bombs, and kill us and so on. But then the Allied forces understood the Germans are afraid as a gladiator before facing the wild animals. They are afraid like us. Wow! They saw they are basically like us, human beings. Misery is the same for them as for us. And then something happened which is so beautiful that it has never happened again in history, unfortunately. They threw their weapons down, they ran over the battlefields. The Germans said, these people are coming at us without weapons. They threw their weapons around. Brothers and sisters, they ran out. They embraced each other. On that evening, they gave little gifts. They showed pictures of that. This is my child, you know. See the little child, you know. And I said, I also have a child, said the German. Kind, you know. And they made, they experience this word empathy, to see things how another sees. And all the violence, all the war, all this illusion was gone by this simple experience of empathy. Learn to see life through the eyes of another, and you will know, you will love him. You will feel the tension between you and him will be over. I must admit, sometimes, oh no, this cannot go in the book. The Red Indians say, if you want to know me, walk one day in my moccasins. These are the shoes. Go where I go. See what I see. Talk with the people I talk to. And then you will know about my life. We are too self-centered, especially we Westerners. We see things through our perspective. And we are, of course, always right. Empathy helps you to give up this illusion. Finally, I recommend you another practice. Before you go to bed, this is the evening practice. I do it often. Take a few minutes. This is the time when you fall asleep. It's actually very boring to just lie around there. Use the time and reflect about your day. Think about the people which you have met over the day and to whom you have talked, the small little meetings you had. Think about how well you did in showing compassion and empathy to others. Think also what you could do better the next day. Think what you learned from your experiences. This will prepare you for another ecstatic day in the school of compassion. Good. This is all I wanted to share with you this evening. We have now 20 minutes for questions and answers. Thank you so much for listening attentively and giving me a chance to address you with these subjects. Yes, so here is Gaurahari, there is our Govindanandan, here is Kuvaleshaya Vishwakarma, Ishwarapuri, and Marayanti, and our Serbian philosopher. Yes, so who was first? Yes. You will please get your microphone. Let us all hear very intensely. It's very important that we pay close attention now.
Thank you very much, Kumar, for this lecture. My question is, very often we cannot really see the suffering of others. It seems everyone is happy and everything, we are at the sea and we can swim, and also, we don't feel we are suffering so much. So how to come out of that dream and develop really this mode of compassion?
I would recommend that you start with helping those who approach you for help. Start on that place, and additionally start there where you can see the suffering and the misery, because you will see when someone doesn't see really he is suffering, then he doesn't really appreciate you as helping, wanting to help him. Yeah. So, but if you want to do something to uplift humanity, then do it. Go to these processes which are always right, to chant the holy name and talk about Krishna. Now, what you do for non-devotees, you know, you don't, you do the two things, Shravanam and Kirtanam, you know, by bringing appropriate subject matters into their awareness. That, because we know when there is the son of Krishna in someone's life, then all the darkness of ignorance will go. Then that you don't even know, need to know specifically what is the shape of the darkness, you know. That's always good. It said everyone will be benefited from this. Even the insects and the trees will be. But you need to do it appropriately. You know, you need to talk to a person whom you meet for the first time in the airplane in a different way than to Rasika Bhakta, who wants to know why Balaram wears only one earring, you know. Yeah. Govinda Nandan.
You mentioned also that compassion is a foundational need.
And is a foundational?
Foundational need.
Need.
Yes. So my question is actually where to put needs. Like emotions can be spiritual or part of the function of mind.
But yeah.
Where do we put needs? Where do they?
A very, very good question. I will address this needs in a separate subject. It will be called the Wheel of Needs. You will be quite surprised. It is really wonderful and very. I developed this with a priest in America, really far out. So there you will find compassion under self-expression. You know, you want to give, you want to contribute, you want to express your heart to others. But I will not explain this now because a whole class is reserved for your question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kuvalishaya Vishwakarma Prabhu. Oh, you have the best name, and finally a name which is a challenge to say in completeness. Yes, yeah.
Yes. Sometimes in our society, we are like non-devotees criticize our society for not doing enough social aid and things like that, and then within our society, sometimes. We are criticized when devotees do some activities which are
okay. So
how to navigate this.
Yeah. We are philosophically, socially speaking, a dialectic society. That means we devotee society, are in constant discussion about different subjects. So I do remember when we were very successful in Food for Life. There was we distributed in emergency areas like Georgia or the Russian place Georgia, what?
Georgia,
and everywhere, flood relief, Bangladesh, and then some. And then we went very much into this, and it became very pronounced in ISKCON that, oh yes, social work, we must do this. Then came the counter voice. I don't want to give names. Who gave a lecture? Poison for all, you know, not food for all, but poison for all. Very provocative title. And the spokesman of this, I don't know, did he call it poison for all? He gave a
food for death.
Food for death. Yeah, not food for life. Food for death. A provocative thinker. He wanted to say, Prabhu's, now don't all go into welfare work, physical welfare work. You know, keep the mission of our movement intact, that we are doing spiritual welfare work, you know. And he felt there was an overemphasis. The same thing happened. Some devotees became aware they are maybe personality. Some of the devotees who join us are psychologically speaking not so strong. You know, they look for shelter and they have some irregularities to work on. And then some devotees thought we must work on that level also, and they brought in psychology, and then the dialectic, the other point of view came, you know, some heavy word, psychology is Maya or something, you know, like this. So it's a dialectic society where always viewpoints come, and they sometimes go into the extremes, and then there is conversation. This is human. This is a sign of a healthy society. When there is discussion, it is all right, and you need to find the middle ground. I believe that there is in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, in our scriptures, there is reason for taking care of people's physical needs. We know from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he encouraged his householder disciples to give donations to beggars so that they could buy something to eat from the donations. Well, we find in we find other places they speak of charity, you know, that when you give charity to others, this is normal. This morning we heard from our Prahladanandan Maharaj that Prabhupada said this about the Grihastha Ashram. He is someone who wants to know how to associate with his wife within proper ways, and Prabhupada said you must cook something and then call out for in the street, is there anyone who's hungry, and feed them. This is charity. So what is wrong if a temple does something like this? But it should be in measures. There is ground to do it. I think it's mostly that the brahmacharis and sannyasis should do preaching work, and grihasthas are in this ashram where they nourish the society, and they will be more in the welfare compartment. So it may be that the conflict is really a conflict between ashrams, you know, which was there in part, you know. It is good. There's one type of welfare work which I really want to encourage you today. See, we talk about compassion. Yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo. We have started something with our Sharanagati team. We want to do compassionate welfare work in Vrindavan. Because we have heard in Vrindavan Mahimamrita that those who help, those who reside in Vrindavan, having taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, if they help them by giving food, clothing, and some shelter, shelter means living, you know, they are very dear to the divine couple. The divine couple quickly take compassion upon them. So we have a Sharanagati work. If you want to be compassionate today, do it today. It's a good day. We have started the widow program. Yes, this is stunning. Widows are a group of Vaishnavis who are not well taken care of, because somehow the Indian society considers them, the smarter society, as being inauspicious, and when there's a marriage, the widow has to go. And often sons go with their widows to holy places, to Vrindavan, and lose them there on purpose. It's a very intense Hare Krishna. And they are exploited, but they are they have only Krishna and the chant, the holy name. So we have started actually our Banu Nandini, that is her initiative, and her friends have started something in Vrindavan, which is now there in the fourth year, and they give prasadam to the widows, and chadas, warm chadas to the widows for the winter, and they plan to see and look into things with the Rupa Raghunath Prabhu and others to give daily prasadam to the widows. And obviously all sadhus come, you know, it's not just that you are a widow and you are a then the man cannot come. No, everyone can as well come. And if you want to know about this program, you can ask Banu Nandini, and if you want to help in this compassionate program, you can also give a cent or two there. So we are almost, let me look at the clock here. Oh, Sharanga Thakur's clock is the best. Ishvara Puri.
Hare Krishna. Being compassionate, what I have understood is still, you can practice it as an internal dialogue in order not to judge the other people what we see around. And on the other side, we also can practice it in helping or listening to the other people around us, to tell them, especially to Redu, and give them
assurance,
support. Yeah. My question is related to this second practice, because it's more related to our the mentorship program that we have launched recently, is to what level we should continue with this, and how should we know when should we continue giving more and more assurance, and when, how should we know when we should stop because we are getting too entangled into our problem.
There is something in helping which a helper needs to know. And that is, he must be careful to not get lost in the other's stories. This we will, I don't really know how we will run this, but on one of the days we will learn the five principles of spiritual counseling, helping a person. But one thing is, when you get lost in the other stories, you cannot help any longer. You know, if a doctor who is supposed to give medicine and maybe, let us say, he needs to amputate a foot or a hand, you know, and the person says, oh no, I need the hand to play piano, you know, and... Well, this is not a good example. Why do I always have such crazy examples? You know what happens when you get lost in the other story? You lose the perspective like the other person as well. You just cannot see clearly any longer what are the causes of the other person's misery. You may take sides with someone, and you lose your objective perspective. Losing yourself in the story of another is you might become so attached to the other person that you lose your own status as a helper. There are different things how you can lose yourself, and what you need to know is that you must maintain your neutral observer position and not get entangled. That is an art, and you will learn it in one of the coming sessions when it's about spiritual counseling. It's really the way to not lose yourself is, and that's why I'm so stressing in this first session the foundations. You must have a spiritual foundation, Ishvara Puri. Inside out, this is the inside out approach which I take in my spiritual practice and in everything I do. First, I must be clear, and then I can help others to become clear. So you must retain your spiritual position. But now, if you become, now, the moment you retain your spiritual position, your observer position, your neutral position, and act from there, it's very hard to be entangled, but it is possible. I don't know what you have specifically in mind as an entanglement, that you, for instance, that you talk again and again and again and again and again, and
so that the helper is lost in a story of the other person and has started to get this material vision.
Yeah.
And you know this.
Oh, good. Then I have answered your question. Yes. Dobro. So we want to start at. Well, there was one Marayanti. We will do maybe someone who is in charge of the next program, the Nam Yagya. Yes. According to Sharanga's clock, we have 1 minute, Marayanti.
Just briefly, you gave advice to us in the morning, for example. When we wake up, then we can tell to ourselves, how this day is great, and then we can do something for Krishna, for service, for our mission. But I find often not so easy to do it this, because I find also that I don't have so much compassion for myself, and then this is the process. So it's not easy to go on that platform. Often it happens, I just wake up and I said to myself, oh, one more day in this world.
While seeing you, I am brought to the Ada Chandranaya. I see Krishna Chaitra Prabhu behind you. I did not see you earlier, Krishna Chaitra Prabhu. It is a great pleasure for me to see you, and a humbling experience, because you know everything and I know nothing. So very nice to see you. I'm very happy to see you. Hare Krishna. Have you seen Krishna Chaitra Prabhu? He's there. He's with us. Hare Krishna. Let us not embarrass him. But very nice to see you. I'm looking at Marayanti, and while looking at Marayanti, I'm seeing Krishna Chaitra Prabhu. This is Marayanti. What I do is to program myself, and that's what every tradition does. You have maybe to have a prayer book or something written, which helps you. The whole idea of our morning prayers and of our morning program is to give us a spiritual tuning each morning. You know, this is so that during the day we will be spiritually tuned. Yes, it may be difficult. We wake up and there's tamagun all around us and all inside of us, you know, and so on. So therefore, you have to just program yourself. When I was in Sholta, I had heard to become healthy for me is only possible if I get back to my positive way of life. And I did every morning when I showered, I said, I have another day. You know, it was when I was recuperating from a life-threatening surgery. I have another day, and I will use this day in Krishna's service. You know, you just have to program yourself. I also thought in the morning, oh, hopefully I don't have cancer now, because there was one doctor who kept on brainwashing me that I have cancer, you know, and you know, you have to learn this idea of controlling the mind. Maybe I should say this. I mean, you are Brahmana. Maybe I should say it to our the beginners on the spiritual path. You don't have to be controlled by your mind. You can direct your mind. It's possible in the human form of life. You have to tell your mind what to think. So you have to give positive things there. This is what spiritual life means. Mm-hmm. All right. So let us end here. We will start now with our next program, the Aratik, and I would be very pleased if you come tomorrow. Tomorrow we start with a very interesting mentorship concept, the Tree of Life. It will be very practical. All the best. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. Shishi Radha Kunya Vihari ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.